Proverbs 18, and Proverbs 18, we'll pick up, let me get right here, at verse number 2 is where we're going to go. Proverbs 18, verse number 2, the Bible says this: "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." Thank you, Father, for your word, and Lord, instruct us and guide us and help us tonight. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Proverbs 18, verse 2, brethren, the Bible says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." All right, so let's look at this verse now tonight. This first part of it. A fool hath no delight in understanding. Now, you know, something that you delight in is something that you take great joy and you take great pleasure in. It's something that's just, you enjoy it, it's pleasurable to you. We understand the idea of delight. It's something that you really find pleasing. Well, the Bible says that a fool hath no delight in understanding. Well, conversely, from that we can understand that a wise man does delight in understanding, for sure. Understanding to a wise man is just a delight. You and I, brethren, should desire to gain understanding and true knowledge and more things of God. But a fool doesn't have delight in those things. A fool hath no delight in understanding. Again, the word delight means a high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind. It means joy. Go to Proverbs 9 just a minute. Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9. In Proverbs 9, in verse 10, look at this. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Well, you know what? The Bible says that a fool hath no delight in understanding. So a fool does not delight in the knowledge of the holy. A fool does not delight, I believe in comparing these verses here, that does not delight in the knowledge of the holy. A fool, brethren, does not want to know of the things of God. A fool does not really want to know truth. Because then, and I believe this has so much to do with it. I believe that he does so. The reason this is because then he knows he'll be accountable and responsible for what he's heard and what he knows. And brother, it's the old thing of they say, you know, ignorance is bliss. Well, not really. But the thing of it is, a fool does not want to know the truth about himself and about God, because that way he can comfort himself and say, well, if I don't know, I'm not accountable. If I don't know, I'm not accountable. But if we're not careful, sometimes we're tempted to be that way. Like, I don't know. I don't know. If I know, then I got to do something about it. If I know, I got to do something about it. And so, brethren, you know, there's a tendency for us sometimes to shy away from getting around truth and the things of God and things that are right and wanting to know the truth about ourselves. And brethren, sometimes you really got to ask yourself, do I want to know the truth about myself? But you know, brother, it's just like going to the doctor. I mean, look, nobody, I believe, enjoys going to the doctor. I mean, you really got to have something matter with you, I really think, to enjoy going to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? Who in the world, brother, I can't stand going to the doctor. I get in there, man, and just the whole environment, you know what I'm saying? Just the whole environment around there. I thank God for them. I don't like going to the doctor. But I know that when I need to, I need to. And brethren, isn't it a foolish thing to say, well, I don't want to go to the doctor because I'm afraid of what I might find out? But brethren, whether you find it out or not, if you've got something wrong with you, you still got it. If you don't know about it, yeah, but if I don't know about it, then it ain't on my mind. But you can't get no help then. It's crazy. But you know what I'm saying? But brethren, I mean, I know a lot of I've had relatives before like that. You know what I'm saying? Just seems like, you know, just, I don't know about it. I don't know about it. And fellows, we can be some of the world's worst about it because it's just like, you know, outside, out of mind, don't want to. And I know what you mean. I don't want to go lots of times myself and hear about things this and the other and know what's. But when we know, then we can start getting the treatment. We can start getting the help. Well, brother, let me say this to you, all right? To be foolish physically is one thing. But brethren, being a spiritual fool is far worse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, brother, we probably all have a bit of that physical fool in us to the where, you know, we don't want to hear the news about us, you know. I don't hear if I got this or hear if I got that, you know. But then we kind of buckle down and realize, well, I mean, that's kind of crazy because if I got it, I need to get some help for it. Well, being a physical fool is one thing, but rather than a spiritual fool is eternally deadly. To be a spiritual fool is to be, that's eternally deadly. To have an attitude, I don't want to know the truth about myself. I don't want to know what shape I really am in spiritually. I don't want to know that. Brethren, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. If a man's lost, it's definitely dangerous because he's on the way to just to sealing his fate and just sealing his course to hell by saying, I don't want to know the truth about myself. I don't want to see myself. I don't want to see myself as God sees me. I don't want to know about God's holiness. That's a deadly attitude. But for saved people, brethren, if you're saved, you ain't going to hell. But it can be deadly to our spiritual growth to have such an attitude. To take an attitude of, well, I don't want to know about myself. I don't want to see where I'm slack at. I don't want to see that stuff. Well, you know, okay, you don't want to see it. But the thing of it is, it doesn't change things. It's still there, and God's displeased with it, and it needs to be rooted out and gotten out. But we don't like that a lot of times. And, brother, that's the way of a fool. No, we don't want to be a fool. I mean, a lost fool's headed for hell, and just about sealing himself that way. But a saved fool is retarding his spiritual growth. We don't want to be that way, all right? And a lot of times, brother, we don't want to know the truth because we don't delight in the knowledge of the holy because we don't want to know the truth about ourselves. We don't want to see, brother. The more you see, brother, when I read my Bible and I see how holy God is, that shakes me up, brother. Brother, I'll be reading my Bible. And I'll see in my Bible how God just don't play with sin. And it jerks a knot in my head. And it straightens me up. You know what I'm saying? And if I'm tended to get too light in my life or not as grave or as sober-minded as I need to be, boy, the Lord jerks me up real good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, He grabs me up real good and says, hey, boy, you know what kind of God I am? You know how I am. You know, boy, you know my attitude towards sin and toward holiness. And boy, I mean, sometimes you're reading your Bible and you look around for a place to go pray. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes, brethren, you get to reading your Bible and you just look around for a place to go pray somewhere a minute. You look around for some place just to go crawl on your knees a minute and just say, oh, Lord, oh, God, you know, my goodness, Lord, help me. I'm just, Lord, you're holy and you're great and that you would think on us. And God, thank you for your salvation. But Lord, you are a holy God. And boy, that's what, see, you say, well, I know that. Yeah, you know it, but when you read it from the Word of God, it's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things I know, brethren, but when I read it there in that book, man, it just really brings it home to me. And it's just safe, brethren. It's just so safe and good. You spend time in the Bible, and it'll just help to produce holiness in your life. It'll just help keep you close to God. It'll keep you in check and help keep that flesh in check. And we should desire it. Oh, yeah, brethren, our flesh don't want to see it. It cuts us, brethren. And sometimes we just got to get down and go pray and say, oh, God, look at me. I'm just in a mess. And God, you're so holy and you're so... Boy, really, it gives us a sense of humility and God's all awesomeness and His might. But that's good for us. And we ought to desire that. We ought to desire that. A fool doesn't desire it. Your Bible says the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. See, a fool don't have no part of that. A fool doesn't want to quit living the way he lives. So he doesn't want to hear the truth that he knows he will then be accountable for. Because, two things that really stand out in my mind, what the Bible says about understanding. One of them is, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So a fool don't want to know about the holiness of God. Because then, in comparison, he's going to see how unholy he is and his need. And a fool also, understanding also the Bible says, is to depart from evil. You see what a problem a fool's got is? A fool does not want to quit living the way he's living. Now, brother, if you're living all right, that's okay. But, brother, if we're not living right, we need to stop that and get living right for God. A fool doesn't want to do that. He does not want to depart from evil. He wants to keep living the way he's living. And so he doesn't want to hear truth. He don't want to hear it. I believe that's a lot of what we was looking at Sunday night, where they're heaping themselves teachers having itching ears. You know. And it's got to be a rough thing, man. It has got to be a rough thing for somebody who doesn't want to live for God, doesn't want to know the truth, doesn't want to be right with God, but yet wants to put up a good show, it must be rough to have to come and sit around preaching and teaching from the Bible and put up with that. That's got to be rough, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just to sit there and just, you know, knowing I don't want this. I don't want this. I want to live the way I want to live. I don't want this. But yet, I've got to put on a religious show and just sit there and just take it from the Word of God. That's rough. Now, you know what? Why be miserable that way? Yeah, you're right, brother. You're right. That's the truth, preacher. I just won't quit coming to church. I don't need that. No, that's not the answer neither. The answer is just to pull up that white flag of surrender to the Lord and say, God, I give up and you win and Lord, help me. Instead of just sitting there and enduring that, folks tickle me sometimes, brethren. And you've seen it. I'm sure you have. A lot of times, brethren, folks will get, the Word of God will just absolutely beat the fire out of them. I mean, just let them. And man, but they'll just pretend like they've got the best blessing in the world, man. You know? Amen. That's wonderful. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Y'all sing that kind of stuff, too. You know what I'm saying? When yet, you know, they're miserable, upset, mad as a wet hen. You know, just, I mean, tore up. You know? But they not wanting to say, rather than just saying, it's just so much better to be real, brethren. Just to say, Lord, you are ringing my bell today. Lord, this is rough, but it's so true. And just crawl under the seat, you know, and just say, God, help me. You know, just make yourself as small as you can, get in the name, and say, oh, Lord, it's true, and God, help me. It's just so much better that way. It's so much better. It really is. All right, but listen. And again, a physical fool is bad, but a spiritual fool is even worse. And listen, I'll tell you, if anybody here or anybody listening on tape, listen, if you can only put up a religious show for so long. You can only put on a religious show for so long. And you can say the talk, and you can this and that, but God knows what's inside your heart. And God knows how miserable you are and how you need to be saved, and you just need to give up and tell God you are a lost, undone, wretched sinner, and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. I mean, man, putting up that front and putting up that game, it's got to get old, man. It's got to get old. You know something? I read a story years ago in Reader's Digest, one of the most fascinating stories I've ever read. And I've told y'all about it before, but I will mention it here again, and maybe somebody on this old tape's never heard about it. But it's fascinating. There was this fella, and he became a millionaire in the construction business. But before that, he had been a teacher in high school. I don't know if he taught in college. I know that he did teach in high school. And you know what? The man was illiterate. He could not read. He could not read. He said, Brother Doss, how did that happen? Evidently, I don't know, he had something happen. He had a learning disability early on or just fell through the cracks. But when he was a kid, he just didn't learn to read. And what happened was his family would move a lot and he learned to fake it. You know what he would do? He would sit in class and get him a notebook and scribble. Like he was writing notes down. Then he would go and later on he would find some kid in the class. What did you make of this problem? What do you think about it? And he would get answers like that. And he was always, I mean, he had it down to, but you talk about pressure, stress. I don't know if he had ulcers or not, but it's a wonder he didn't. I mean, and then what happened was, before they would catch on to him, the family would move. And he played that thing out, man, He said it was insane, but it became the game became, I guess, so just normal to him, that joker went to college. He went to college. The man went to college. And what he did was, during exams, he would sit in the back of the room, and it was a huge class, I guess. He paid somebody, and he dropped his exam out the window and paid somebody to do it for him and then slip it back in. And he said, he told God, he was Catholic, he told God, I'll go to Mass so many times, everything, just don't let me get caught. It's a mess, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, and so he goes, and he graduated college. And he said the crazy thing, of course, that's perhaps not too surprising. But you also, what got even crazier about it? He said, here I am, I can't read. And I guess it's kind of a twisted kind of little thing, a cycle, who knows what. So he became a teacher. The man, this is a true story. His last name was Corcoran, I forgot what it was, something like that. And he went and he became a teacher. And what he would do was, brethren, he was married. His wife didn't know he couldn't read. And so he would come home and say, honey, could you help me out? Grade these papers for me. So she graded the papers. He had the stuff mimeographed off. He faked it and did it. Right? It was a teacher. Right? And then he got, this is a fact now. Then what he did was he got involved in the construction business and did good. And the guy became a millionaire. But what happened was he got the word, there was paperwork in the center. He just couldn't fake it no more. And you know what that man did? Finally, he was getting to where he was going to be losing a lot of money. You know what he finally did? I believe that's what happened. And here's what he finally did. He walked into the public library and to their reading program and said, my name is so-and-so, I'm how many years old, and I can't read. Busted out crying. And started learning to read. And by doing so, he got things back. You know, I think things started going financially good for him again, everything like that. But he says, one of the first things he did was, he broke out all his wife's old love letters. He'd saved every one and read them. He had never been able to read them before. And he'd saved them and read them. But you know what? Now look how far that man got. And look what he did. Never able to read. You know what really frightens me? How many people there are sitting in churches today and they can't read it. I don't mean they can't read the words. They probably read the words like the back of their hand. But they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? And you know what they learn to do? They learn to fake it, buddy, and wing it. Just like this man did. He learned to say the right words. He learned to say the phrases. He learned to pull it off and say, and snake it around enough and move around enough to a brother, high school, college, teacher. Businessman, and couldn't even read. How many today, brethren, are filling pulpits, Sunday school teaching, positions in the church, deacons, just church members across the, and yet can't read it? What I mean is, brethren, they don't have the Spirit of God and cannot glean spiritual truth. They learn the phrases, they learn how to say things, but it ain't there. And you see, nobody knew it, but he knew it. You say, Brother Dawson, a person hide, man, this man hid it from his wife. And they had a good relationship from what the article seemed to show. But he pulled it off. I wonder how many are pulling it off today to where, brethren, they read their Bible and they don't get it. And it ain't there. But if they listen, how to pick up, drop a phrase, how to act, how to do, but don't have it. Not being able to read, you know, to read letters, you don't send alphabet and words. Well, that's a hindrance. That's a bad thing. But you won't go to hell over that. But rather lacking the new birth and not being able to grasp spiritual things of God but not being born again, that has eternal consequences. And I'll tell you what, I hope there would be no one listening here tonight on tape that would ever be in such a situation to be such a spiritual fool. Well, Proverbs 18, let's go on. Look at verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. And let's take our time with this a minute. The word discover means to lay open to the view, to disclose, to show, to make visible. And the word but in the dictionary means like except, unless or except. Evidently, brethren, what this verse is telling us is this. A fool doesn't, in truth, a fool does not delight in understanding. But he often wants to make it look like he does. He wants to make it look like he does. A fool hath no delight in understanding. But, in other words, but means also, in the dictionary, means accept, unless, but that his heart may discover itself. We're going to say, in other words, it seems that what we're looking at here is that a fool, he doesn't really want it. But he wants to make it look like he does. I heard a fella tell one time, this probably ain't true. I'm sure it ain't true. I don't think it's told for the truth, but I'll be it's funny. They said in Mississippi or somewhere years ago, somebody may have heard this, that there was a two football teams playing for championship. And one of them had a little halfback. Said his name was Calhoun. And said that guy could flat get it done. But he was hurt. And so they decided not to use him in that game because, you know, they're going to save him for next year. Had a good career ahead of him like that. Well, it was just lopsided, man. It was just lopsided. The other team was just whipping the fire off. And said the other team got feeling so bad that the cheerleaders for the other team said, got together and said, you know what, we done got this game wrapped up. And that boy Calhoun can flat run that ball. They said, let's start cheering and telling the other side and getting our folks going to put Calhoun in the ball game. So, I'm sorry. So, pretty soon, boy, they did. And they start cheering. Let Calhoun have it. Let Calhoun have it. Next thing you know, all their side, let Calhoun have it. Well, the other side, you know, picks up, let Calhoun, pretty soon the whole stadium is, let Calhoun have it. Well, it said the coach was just, what's he going to do? You know, pressure's on him now. So he run up, said he got up there and he called out the guys and Calhoun, yes sir. Run up there, said get in there and run that ball, yes sir. So he run out there, you know, and they called a play for the halfback to run, take it, you know, and quarterback kept it, went a few yards, got tackled. Man, the coach on the sideline is just by now he's just beside himself, you know, because the whole crowd let Calhoun have it and he just told him to do it, he disobeyed it, so he just said. Throws his hat down, you know, let Calhoun have that ball. So he run another play, gave it off the fullback. He barrels through. They still hadn't gave it to him. Well, this time he's about to, you know, blow a gasket. He's having a fit. Stomping it, he said, quarterback, let Calhoun have the ball. And the whole crowd said, they said, and remember now, when he ran out there, that Calhoun acted like, man, he's ready to go. He was ripping Roy's hair and he was ready to go. Quarterback put his hands up. Got the crowds silent, got silence in the stadium, cupped his hands together, and said as loud as he could, Calhoun said he don't want that ball. And that just tickles me. But you know, I mean, he made like it. He made like he wanted it, buddy. He wanted it, but he didn't. And you know what, brethren? You know, in all endeavors of life, haven't we seen that many, many a time? Somebody that, yeah, boy, I'm ready. I mean, pawing at the ground, you know, they're ready for it. They're going to do it. They don't want to know it. They don't want to know it. You know, so, brother, again, in most endeavors of life, that's of not a whole lot of consequence other than not showing character and embarrassing yourself. But, brother, in spiritual things, it's deadly. It's deadly. You see, brethren, a fool doesn't, in truth, in reality, a fool doesn't delight in knowledge and understanding. But he wants to make it look very often like he does. He doesn't really want understanding except for appearances' sake. I believe the motto of the state of North Carolina, I believe now. I mean, I've been down here now for 20-some years. So I can't remember. I believe the state motto of North Carolina is to be rather than to seem. To be. Rather than to seem. And you know something, brethren? When I was a kid, I remember hearing that and I thought, what is that? It just didn't make no sense to me. But I'm telling you something, the older I get, boy, the more I see how important and wonderful those words really are. And how those people, whoever came up with that motto, had some understood character. To be rather than to seem. In other words, brethren, look, the thing of it is, be what you are. Don't try to just seem or appear to be something you're not. Really be what you desire to be or profess to be. To be rather than to seem. In other words, it's no good to seem like you're a certain way and not really be that way. What is right and best is to be what you purport to be or want to be or should be. To be rather than to seem. We need to ask ourselves tonight, which one are we? Do we just seem to be something we're not? Or are we real? Take your Bible. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse 7. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. Ever learning.
You're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
How sad. How sad. Boy, brethren, today, surely we see a lot of that. And today, we're the information age, man. Man, you can find out everything about everything. But how many today are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? See, why is that, Brother Dawson? But I believe because it's a matter of the heart. The heart don't want it. Our brethren, like we looked at last week, they want knowledge for a wrong reason. To smite with a fist and debate, or to get the upper hand, or for arrogance, or for pride. But their heart isn't right. Not wanting understanding or wanting truth for the right reason. Take your Bible, go to Jude, from the book of Jude. And verse 16. Jude, verse 16, look what the Bible says. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Well, brother, doesn't that describe so many today, brother? Again, they don't really want, there's so many today, brother, they don't want understanding. They don't know the truth about themselves. They don't know the truth about God. But they want a show of religion. They want a show of righteousness because it gains them political advantage. It gains them advantage in the eyes of others. For what all kind of reasons? Whatever kind of reasons. It's a matter of not really wanting something in truth, but a show of it. A show of it. And take your Bible real quick and go to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 3. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. An amazing verse. Look at that. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Do you know something? We read a week or two ago how the Bible says that we read, I believe, in Proverbs 17. Yeah, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, if the fool could just keep his mouth shut, he'd probably pull it off. But he can't do it. He's got to open that mouth. That's one thing about a fool. He can't keep his mouth shut. He can't do it. Sooner or later, he opens his mouth and it comes out. If he could keep his mouth shut, a lot of times he could pull it off. But he doesn't. Says Ecclesiastes, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he's a fool. Does he say, I'm a fool, I'm a fool, I'm a fool? No, he just goes ahead and opens his mouth and talks and shows what he is. Brethren, listen. What you really are will come out. Sooner or later. Brother, you can't keep up a false front. It'll kill you. Let me tell you something. One of the most back-breaking things there can surely be to do is to try to manifest a spirit-filled life without the Spirit of God. That'll break your back. To try to manifest the fruits of the Spirit without having the Spirit. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. It'll wear a man out. Hopefully it'll wear him out to the point where he gives up and desires to get saved. But basically, a lot of folks do that. A lot of folks don't have the Spirit of God, but they try to imitate and manifest Christian behavior and fruits of the Spirit, but they don't have the Spirit of God. They've never been born again. And man, you try to manifest the fruits of the Spirit in fleshly power, it'll kill you. You can't do it. It'll frustrate the fire out of you. See, man, that's one of the blessed things about being saved. One of the things that gives you assurance is that you see the things God has done in your life that you know only He could do. You see God produce in your life love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. You see God doing those things in your life once you accept Christ as your Savior. And you know that's Him because you can't do that yourself. And you, as a believer, as a born-again believer, you can give testimony. I know God has worked in my life to do these things. I've seen Him do it. That's a blessing. You can't do that yourself. You'll break your neck trying. I mean, just kill yourself trying to in the works of the flesh, trying to manifest the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, brother, it just ain't going to happen. A person just kill herself trying to do that. That's a back-breaking effort. But when you get born in the Spirit of God, fruit just is there. I mean, brethren, an apple tree bears apples because it's an apple tree. An orange tree bears oranges because it's an orange tree. And it don't just strain. You know, it don't just strain and just try to produce a piece of fruit. It just produces it. It's what it is. And when the Spirit of God abides within, God's fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, will be produced in our lives. So, brother, what we are, sooner or later, will come out. A fool can pull it off as long as he's quiet. It's when he opens his mouth that he's discovered. A fool desires to seem to be something that he isn't. And I want to leave you a question tonight. Those of us here listening on tape, are you for real? Are you for real? When it gets down to you and just you alone before God, are you real? Now listen, you know what? If that's not the case, do you know what this man in the story I told about, the man who couldn't read? Do you know that was a heavy load he was carrying? The pressure. I mean, listen, if you're here, if you're listening on tape, and you've tried to give the appearance of being a Christian, but you've never been born again, admit it. The pressure just about kills you. The pressure just about kills you. And it just drives you out of your gourd sometimes. And what happens is, what holds you back from coming to grips with just giving up and saying, I need to be saved, I'm not real, is the sheer shame of it all. But that's what this man did. See, the idea of coming clean publicly and saying, I can't read. With tears, man. Wept. But you know what? That was what needed to be done. And he got help. Read now. Read his wife's love letters. Man, praise the Lord. It's just that things going good. But you know what? That's the thing that I wonder how many countless folks. They're in church. Have all the blocks filled in. But they don't have spiritual discernment. They've never been born in the Spirit of God. They can read the words. But they can't. They're not scripturally literate. Spiritually literate. And what's needed is to stand and say, God, I can't read. God, I'm a spiritual illiterate. I don't have your spirit. I need to be born again. You know, when a man comes to that place, he gets saved. He gets saved and everything turns around. And I pray that anybody would hear this message would do honest search in the heart and ask oneself, and be honest. Be honest. Are you for real? And do you want to know the truth or just a show? Do you want to be or just sin? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray. Have your way. Have your will. And Lord, perform your purposes with what's been put forth. Father, this I ask, please, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.